gets alone. Can't see who's coming down the road. Well, it's Jesus coming to give him his sight. He rejoices in the miracle, but can't find the words to say. When the people ask what happened on that day, he said, "One thing I know, new life he gave me. I know from darkness he saved me. I was forsaken till Jesus found me. I can't tell you how it happened. I don't know why he chose me. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see." Ooh, ooh. After all he's done for me, willingly he bore my sin and paid the debt to buy my liberty. Why he loved me so, or how he changed my life that day, but because he did, thank God, I now can say. He said, "One thing I know, new life he gave me. I know from darkness he saved me. I was forsaken till Jesus found me. I can't tell you how it happened. I don't know why he chose me. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know, I know new life he gave me. I know from darkness he saved me. I was forsaken till Jesus found me. I can't tell you how it happened. I don't know why he chose me. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see. One thing I know is I was blind, but now I see."
Thank you, ladies. Did you enjoy that? That was great. Appreciate their practice, hard work, and coming and singing for us this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Find your place in 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. Visitors, again, we thank you for being here. We do invite you to come back, though. Next Sunday, our pastor will be back in the pulpit, and we certainly want you to be here under his preaching ministry, and we pray that you'll come back and be a part. Again, thank you for choosing to be at Trinity Baptist Church this Sunday morning here in this particular worship service. Well, listen, I know you're here on purpose. And I know you came to church either at the invitation of someone or you came to church because you're looking for something. Now, I come to church because normally I'm looking for something. Let me tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking to hear from God. Listen, the world beats you up all week long. You come to church, you want to hear from God. You've heard from all these other people. And normally nothing positive, right? Okay, normally nothing positive. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, would you stand with me? I'm going to talk to you about something positive this morning. It's positively true. And here's the truth. Everybody listen carefully. The devil's real and hell is real. Now, it doesn't matter what you read in a book. It doesn't matter what you hear on TV. Doesn't matter what you hear, supposedly, a preacher tell you. The devil's a real person, and hell's a real place. And people go there even as we speak. Now, I want to show you something here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. The scripture is very plain, and it's very potent in this one verse. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Now, here's the reason now. Because your adversary, that means you've got an enemy. And that enemy is very plainly laid out in Scripture. The Holy Spirit says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to talk to you about this morning, Satan's merry-go-round. Satan's merry-go-round. And listen, a group of size, well, people this size, some of you are already on that merry-go-round. And you know what he's doing? Boy, he is spinning you and spinning you and spinning you. And I'm going to tell you what happens after you get off the merry-go-round. It's the same thing that happened when I put my little brother on the merry-go-round when he was about 5 years old and spun him around. Same thing's happening to some of us as happened to him once he got off. And I want to talk to you about that more. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? Father, I ask you, please, meet with us. Oh, Spirit of God, I have already asked you, as many of these people here, likewise, have asked you to meet with us and speak to our hearts this morning. Now, Lord, I'm going to preach about an adversary that is an adversary to every person in this room today. Now, he's either after one of two things. He's either after a person's soul this morning that's without Christ, or he's after a Christian's testimony, one or the other. And I prayed this morning, Lord, that you'd educate us through your Holy Spirit and through the Word, that we might be prepared, not ever get on that merry-go-round of Satan as he spins it and does all the things, Lord, that he does to kind of get us off track for the Lord. And I ask you, have your will in all things this morning, and we'll certainly give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as kids, we did a lot of things that we'd probably end up in jail for if we did them today. But my brothers and I had three brothers, had one older, one younger, and I had two sisters, and they were all, both of them younger. And we used to love to go to the park. There was a park not too far from our house and had a huge, gigantic merry-go-round. And we'd love to get on that merry-go-round and spin each other, because what we'd like to do is, after we spun each other and you got off, we like to see how they acted after they got off the merry-go-round. And normally, here's the strange thing about that is this. It didn't matter which one of my brothers and sisters got on there or I got on there and you spun them, they all acted the same way when they got off. They all never could quite get their balance back where it was. They always stumbled out of control. They almost acted like they didn't know what they were doing. They almost acted like their balance, their equilibrium was out. Now, what I'm trying to tell you today is we did that as kids for fun. Now, we did a lot of other things for fun as well. We used to take some of the smaller kids in the neighborhood. And these little kids, of course, you know, they like to hang out with the older kids, so we'd let them hang out with us as long as, kind of a little initiation process. And we'd blindfold some of these kids, and boy, I mean, we'd spin them and spin them and spin them and spin them. And then you'd take rocks and tap at them or sticks and poke at them. And that was a lot of fun. Now, you go to jail for that today. But what I'm saying is after we blindfolded them and spun them, the main thing that happened that was so funny to us is they were confused. They were totally confused. They didn't know where they were. We could poke them and they'd swing around and try to hit them. And we'd laugh and laugh and laugh. Boy, that was real funny, wasn't it? But can I say something to you today? As adults and teenagers and kids, some of you have been lured onto a merry-go-round this morning. And you know what's happening? You're being spun and spun and spun and spun. And what's going to happen is you're going to get confused. What's going to happen this morning is the devil's going to spin you and spin you and spin you so fast in so many different directions that by the time you get off, you know what? You're going to be out of balance. What's going to happen is your equilibrium's going to be off. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about that subject, Satan's merry-go-round. Now, can I say this to you? That Satan thinks it's real funny, just like we thought it was real funny to blindfold these kids and spin them around, watch them fall down, try to get buck, fall back down. And man, we'd laugh. That was funny. But can I say to you today that he's got some of you on the merry-go-round and he's laughing his head off. You know what? He thinks it's real funny. And I'm here to tell you today, dear friend, that the devil gets his joy out of getting people on the merry-go-round, whether it's Christian or non-Christian. He can get both people on. And can I say to you this morning that Satan hates God? Can I tell you that he despises God's creation of man? I want to tell you today that he's vindictive, he's vicious, he's self-serving, and enjoys a laugh at the expense of others. That's where we got our laugh. We got him at the expense of these little kids. He's getting his laughs at your expense and my expense today. You see, he's trying to get you on this merry-go-round because he wants to take you for a spin. You say, Brother Todd, preacher, I wouldn't do that. I mean, if I know it's the devil's merry-go-round, I'm not going to get on that. You see, the problem is you don't know it is. Because he's very, very deceptive. Now, let me take you in the Bible, if I could, please, for just a moment. And go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Let me show you something here. Genesis chapter 3. All right, Genesis chapter number 3. I want to read you a statement here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. Everybody find your place? Genesis 3, 1. The chapter starts off by saying this. Now the serpent, what we know of the serpent here is being the devil. It says that he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now that word subtle is an interesting word because that means he's deceptive. That means, listen to me now, the devil has been at this a long, long time. And what I'm telling you today is if he can weasel his way into a perfect environment to a man and a woman created by God that had not known sin, if he can weasel his way into there and get them to get on the merry-go-round, I have a sneaky suspicion he's convinced some of us today to get on as well. He convinced Adam and Eve to jump on board. And here we have all mankind thrown into sin. You say, oh, preacher, how did he do it? The scripture says he's more subtle than any beast of the field. You see, he's not going to advertise this carousel. You see, when you go to Six Flags out here, most of you older kids don't even think about, I ain't going to go ride that merry-go-round, that carousel. I do, because it's just, no, it's just fun. Plus, you can go away from Six Flags saying you rode the merry-go-round, right? Now, I don't get on one of them horses go up and down. I ride in one of those little slate chairs, you know, that just goes around there. But it's fun. Now, the thing about it is, nobody made me get on. I got on at my own free will. And I'm here to tell you today, some of you riding the devil's merry-go-round, you got on your own free will. Now, I'm going to tell you how he got you on, okay? Now, take your Bible, if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I want you to jot down three words because they're going to be very important to understanding the message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 11. Now, tell what, go back if you would. Let's read verse number 10. It says, for to this end also did I write, Paul says, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Listen to verse 10, or that's verse 9, verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Listen to verse 11. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, it says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, the first word I want you to write down is the word device. By the way, men, we go into your garage, you have many devices in the garage. You've got a Phillips screwdriver for a Phillips screw. You've got a slotted screwdriver for a slotted screw. You've got a ratchet set for a hex head bolt. You've got devices for everything. Now, the scripture says that we are not ignorant of his devices. You know why? Because all we got to do is turn to Genesis chapter 3 and find out what he does. So we're not ignorant of it. This is not the first time that this has happened. Now, here's what Webster says a device is. He says it's that which is formed by design to scheme for bad purposes. Now, that means I understand now that he's got a device. In other words, he's got a scheme, a plan in place, and the purposes are all bad. Now, the thing about it is he uses these devices, and yet the scripture says we're not ignorant of them. All right, take your Bible now and go, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me give you the second word that I want you to look at this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26. And notice this next word. He goes and gives, Paul does, a list of folks, but then he comes to verse 26 and he says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That's word number two. How he's going to get you on this merry-go-round is by device and by snare. All right, let's go back to Webster and see how he defines the word snare. He says, that's anything by which one is entangled to bring into unexpected evil. You see, the thing about it is, you think my five-year-old brother got on the merry-go-round expecting evil? No! Get on the merry-go-round. It's fun. Hey, I've done it myself. We get him on the merry-go-round and we spin him and spin him and spin him. Then we get him off and laugh as he stumbles and falls and loses equilibrium. He's out of balance. Now, he uses a snare. So he's got a device and now he's got a snare. Now, the thing about it is, any of you who's ever been hunting before, and you go hunting, many of us that go hunting and stuff, we put out baits or lures or we do it. Listen, those of you who go fishing, you know why you fish with a lure? You trick them. It's a snare. You say, well, I don't use lures, preacher. I use a worm and a hook. You know what you put the worm on the hook for? To hide it. It's a snare. That's what it is. You know why? Because you're divisive. That's why. You ought to catch them with a net. Be honest about it, right? You see, you're divisive and you set a snare for that poor fish. Now, take your Bible, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, don't you feel guilty about it? I don't, but... All right, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 11. And we've looked at two words, how he's going to get people on this merry-go-round. Number one, he's going to use a device. Number two, he's going to use a snare. And number three, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. Listen to what it says. The Scripture says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against, here's word number 3, the wiles of the devil. Just in the margin of your Bible, just write the word tricks. Tricks. Deception. So the devil's already got things in place here. He's going to use a device. He's going to use a snare. And then when he does, he's going to use wiles. He's going to use tricks. He's going to use a strategy behind that to deceive you. Now, these are what we are to prepare to face. And listen very carefully. Most of us in this auditorium today are too spiritually naive to take the devil seriously. Now, listen to me. There's two people in this auditorium. There's unbelievers and believers. There's two kind of people here. And he can get both on the merry-go-round. Now, you know, you say, well, what's he after, preacher? Well, first of all, if you're an unbeliever, he's after your soul. Do you understand that's what this is all about? It's a war over the soul of men. That's what this is all about. That's the reason we stand up and preach. You know what? We're trying to help you to see you've got one soul. One and only one. And when it's gone forever. And the devil wants your soul. If you're saved this morning, he can't take your soul. So the next best thing, he takes your testimony. Okay, so there's two groups of people. There's believers and unbelievers in here. He's after the believer's testimony. He's after the unbeliever's soul. And did you notice our text verse? He is seeking whom he may devour. You don't have to go looking for him. He's looking for you. You know why? Because he wants you to step on this merry-go-round. He's going to spin you a few times. You say, well, preacher, what is he trying to cause us to do? Well, here's the message in a nutshell this morning. Take your Bible, if you would, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He's very divisive. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, find your place there. Here's the process that he's using today to get most people on this carousel to spin them around and around to throw them off of balance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 4. Look at verse number 3. Paul says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now listen to verse 4. "In whom the God of this world..." Stop. Who's he talking about there? It's the devil. That's who it is. He says, "In whom the God of this world..." Now notice what he does here. "Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now here's what he's going to do. He's going to use a device, he's going to use a snare, and then he's going to incorporate the wiles, the tricks, the strategy of deception behind that. And here's the direction he's going to take this morning. What he's going to do is, first of all, he's going to blind you. Just like we took those little kids in the neighborhood and blindfolded them. That's what he's going to do. His first goal is to blind you. What? Preacher, what's he going to blind me to? Number one, the truth. He's going to blind you to the truth. Now listen, if you're a lost person here today, if you're an unbeliever today, you know what he's going to try to do? Exactly what the apostle said he's going to try to do. He's going to try to blind you to the truth of the gospel. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to water it down. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to pervert it. He's going to try to blind your eyes to the truth. Now, if you're a believer here this morning, you say, "Oh, preacher, what is he going to try to do to blind me?" He's going to try to blind you to your own sin. Yeah, he's going to cause you to try to live a lie. Matter of fact, he's going to try to blind you to the place to where you think that what you're doing is not so bad. That, hey, it's okay, you're saved, live like you want to, right? Now, most of us in here would say, "Yeah, that's right, preacher, I'm saved. I can live while I'm going to heaven anyway." You see, what he's done is he's already blinded you. Because, listen, you're not here to please you. You're here to please God. And he's trying to hit, the first thing he's going to do is put the blindfold on you to the truth of your own sin if you're a Christian. If you're lost here today and without God, he's going to try to blind you to the gospel. You know why? Because that's where the power of God lies, in the Word of God. The gospel. It's the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's going to try to blind you to the truth. Number two, he's going to try to blind you to the will of God. He's going to try to blind you to the will of God. Now, if you're without God this morning, listen to me. This is the way he's going to work it. Now, remember, he uses devices, snares, wiles. And he's very subtle about how he does it. Because the thing about it is, listen to me now, he's going to try to blind you to the truth. And then he's going to try to blind you to the will of God. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" And listen very carefully. The scripture says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." Listen now, "not willing," you hear me? "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That means there's not a person in this auditorium done anything bad enough that would disqualify you from the family of God. And what he's going to do, he's going to blind you to the will of God, that it is God's will you be saved. You say, "But preacher, you mean anybody can go to heaven?" Yeah, if you go the right way, according to the scriptures, which we're going to look at in just a second. You see, he's not willing that you go to hell. God's willing that you be saved. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're without God, he's not willing that you perish this morning. So, listen, the devil's going to use a device. He's going to use a snare. He's going to use wiles. He's going to use trickery to try to get you on this merry-go-round and spin you concerning the truth. Get you on there and spin you concerning the will of God. So I have a sneaky suspicion there's some people in here, you say, "Oh, preacher, I can't be saved. I've done too many bad things." May I ask you something? I read in the scripture about a man named Peter who denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. Three times. You done anything that bad? I'm here to tell you today that he is willing for you to be saved. Now, if you're a believer here this morning, he's going to blind you to the will of God, which may be the call of God on your life or the direction of God for your life. What he's going to do is he's going to paint numerous avenues for you to go. Because what's going to happen, you're going to be cruising down the highway. You think, man, this Christian life is real good. And the next thing you know, you're going to come up to an intersection and there's going to be 100 different exits. You're going to think, my goodness, where am I to go? How am I supposed to get off this? How do I know which direction to take? Well, let me tell you something. Remember the scripture says that we're not ignorant of His devices? You know how you're going to find out which road to take? All you got to do is take the Word of God and know what the Bible says. You'll take the right road every time. You'll take the right road. He's just trying to blind us to the truth, to the will of God as a Christian, the call of God in our life, the direction of God in our life. And then may I say number three, He's going to try to not only blind you to the truth, the will of God. Listen now, He's going to try to blind you about your eternal destiny. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. If you're a believer this morning, what He does is when He gets a Christian on this merry-go-round, He's going to convince you as He spins you and you get all off balance that heaven's not all it's cracked up to be. He's going to try to convince you to live like you want. You're saved anyway. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do what that preacher says. You don't have to listen to anything. Listen, just do what feels right and it'll be all right. You're going to heaven anyway. Now, here's the problem with that. You say, well, that is me, preacher. I am going to heaven. So what's the big deal about serving God? What about all the other people that are looking for you as an example? What about the people on the job that know you're a believer and you're going to lead them astray? What about them? You see, we only think of ourselves many times, don't we? And all I'm saying is He causes blindness to a believer. And listen to me. Here's what Satan wants to do in these devices and snares. He wants to lessen the value of your salvation to the place where it's no big deal anymore to be saved or live for God. You know what? We got a whole nation riding that merry-go-round. And all of a sudden, it's just become no big deal to be saved anymore. It's no big deal to go to church anymore. It's no big deal to read our Bible anymore. You know what? And we have a whole nation jumping on this merry-go-round. And listen, the devil, the thing about it is, in the religious world today, he's not even having to spin it. The churches are spinning it. They're the ones spinning people around. Now, I'm just here to tell you that his first mode of action is to blind you. All right? Number two, after he blinds you, the next tactic that he's going to use is he's going to confuse you. So he's going to cause blindness and then he's going to confuse you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, don't turn there. But the scripture is very plain. It says, God is not the author of confusion. All right, now, that means if God is not the author, that means there can only be one author of this book, right? There can only be one more. That's the devil. Now, he's the author of device. He's the author of snares. He's the author of wiles. He's subtle about it. So after he blinds you and gets you on and spins you, then he confuses you. Now, I think all of us at some point have studied for an exam. And I mean, we study that thing exactly like it's written down in the book. We got it word for word. And we go to take our test, and it's a true and false test. But we've got it memorized exactly like it was in the book. And the teacher takes and changes just a couple of words in the sentence to cause that sentence no longer to be true. Now it becomes false by just taking and moving two words. And you know what? We've got it memorized. Boy, we've got it down. We look at that, and here's what we do. You know what we do? We read the first part of the sentence. We think, that's true. And we don't read the rest of it. True. And then we go read the next one. False. Then we go read the next one. True. False. True. Man, I made 100 on this. We get it back. We get our test back, and we see on our test there, F. Wait a minute, what happened? And the teacher circles all of the things she changed or he changed in there so that you can see what made them false. You see, the problem here we got is we got confused. And what happened is you got confused on that test Here's what the word confusion means. The word confusion means is to blend things together so they cannot be distinguished, you see. So not only is he going to blind us to the truth and the will of God and our eternal destiny, he's going to try to convince the lost person in this thing of eternal destiny that there is no hell. There is no such place. Oh, it's not all that bad. You know what that's like trying to do? To try to convince somebody that there is no hell? That's like to try to accept the fact that there's an up but no down. That there's an east and no west. That's like trying to accept the fact that there's a north and not a south, or a positive and not a negative. He's going to blind us, and he uses pride and success and promises. And boy, let me tell you something. The devil's going to cut back on every one of his promises. No matter what he's promised you, I promise you he's going to cut back on it. So he's going to blind us, and then he's going to confuse you. All right, now let me tell you how he's going to confuse you. Number one, by producing false Bibles. Now listen to me now. The average person can go to any Christian bookstore and ask for a Bible. If you don't believe me, test me out. Go to a Christian bookstore and ask them, I'm here to buy a Bible. And the next thing out of their mouth, they're going to say, which Bible? And then they're going to say, I didn't know there was more than one. Oh yes, we have 244 different ones. And then they're convinced to take you back and walk you through them. Now, can I say this to you? You know what that is? That's called confusion. That's what that is. That's confusion. And that's a device. That's a snare is what that is. And the devil's going to use that to get you aboard this merry-go-round to spin you, to confuse you about false Bibles. Now, Christian, listen to me. I'm not getting on to you. What I'm saying to you this morning, some of you here may not even know the difference. And so what he's going to do, if you're a Christian this morning, he's going to mix truth and error. By the way, do you know some of the things that he told Adam and Eve were true? But he mixed falsehoods in there. You see, he's very subtle in how he does it. So he mixed some falsehoods in there. So he's going to try to confuse you by producing false Bibles. If you're here today without the Lord, here's what you may be asking. And here's the confusion. You're going to be asking, how can I trust and know which one's true? See, there's confusion there. So he's going to confuse us by producing false Bibles. May I say number two, he's going to confuse people by raising up multiple errant churches. You know, I was out knocking doors the other day, had a guy tell me, he said, oh, listen, how do I know you're telling me the truth? I said, well, because I'm reading it to you out of the Bible. He says, yeah, but I've had other people from other denominations read out of the Bible too. And I've had these people read out of the Bible, and these people read out of the Bible, and hey, I've had this group come by, and this group come by. You know what that is? That's called confusion. That's what that's called. Now, you think God's the author of that? According to Scriptures, he's not. That means if he's not, there can only be one other person that's trying to confuse people about the truth, about the Bible, and about the churches. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm going to make a simple statement that I want you to just take this afternoon and chew on. Okay, here's the statement. Things that are different cannot be the same. How many times, we're all worshiping the same God. We're all reading the same Bible. We're all going down the same road. I'm here to tell you today, we're not. We're not. You know why? Because it's confusion. That's what it is. And he's got people on this merry-go-round, you know what? He's just singing, and you're just on the merry-go-round waving. This is fun. Go ahead, devil, spin me some more. A little bit faster this time. And you're waving. But you know what? He's got a whole nation just pumping people on here, left and right. He's confusing them by false Bibles. He's confusing the Christian. Hey, we're all worshiping the same God, the lost. Hey, who's right? What church? How do I know you're telling me the truth? Confusion. And then you know what else he's confusing us about? Not only by producing false Bibles and multiple errant churches, he's confusing the way of salvation. He's confusing the way of salvation. Now, here it is, very simple. There's two philosophies of salvation on planet Earth. Okay? Here they are. It's either salvation by grace, which is what the Bible teaches, or it's salvation by works,
which the devil teaches.
Because the thing about it is, listen to me, do you understand? We're not ignorant of his devices. Hey, can I help you to understand something? If it's of anything but grace, can I here to tell you, what do we need Jesus for? So you know what his plan is? His plan is trying to get you to bypass Jesus. Because if you can bypass Jesus, see, he's going to try to tell you that, hey, all you got to do is things. Just be good. You're all right. Believe what a church says down there at 2212 North Davis. You good old boy. You know what he's trying to get you to do? Confuse you. He's trying to get you to bypass Jesus. And that has always been the device. That has always been the snare. That has always been the trick. And he's doing it through Bibles, churches, and everything else he can get his hand a hold of. And I'm just here to tell you, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to confuse Christians on the way of salvation. Listen, you know there were good Baptist people at one time that are off doing something else now? Don't even believe Baptist doctrine anymore. You know what they are? Confused. Somewhere, someday, the devil put him a little trap out there. Now what happens, you have to be out of the Bible and out of fellowship with God to follow that. You have to be. You have to be. Because the Scripture says, I'm not ignorant of his devices. So you know what? When I see this, I'm going to say, you can just take that somewhere else. Because I'm not going down that road. I know where that road leads. You see? So he's confusing people about the way of salvation. If you're here today without the Lord, can I say to you, there are snares out there everywhere. Work salvation, this salvation, this salvation, this salvation. And finally, you know what a lost person does? They get so confused, they just throw their hands up and say, listen, you know what? Just forget it. And the devil goes, wonderful! Come aboard, my brother! And you know what we do? We hop on. And he just spins and spins and spins. First thing he does is blind you. Second thing he does is confusion. Let me give you the last thing and we're done. 2 Timothy 2.26. Turn there. 2 Timothy 2.26. 2 Timothy 2.26. Okay, back to where we started here just a moment ago. 2 Timothy 2.26. All right, here's what the verse says. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now that's where I stopped a while ago, but I want to read the rest of this verse. Listen. Who are taken, what's the next word? By him at his will. Not your will. At his will. And what we've had here is we've had too many people that have walked right into this. Not at your will, at his will. And the next thing he does, he blinds you, he confuses you, and then he captures you. Now the Bible says if you're here this morning, you're without God, and you're without the Lord, and you don't know the Lord, you can't remember any time you've ever accepted Jesus Christ. Can I say this morning, you are captive to his will. The Bible says you're of your father, the devil. You say, ooh, that's ugly, preacher. Hey, listen, you know what? Get out of the family. That's all you got to do. You just got to choose. You know what? I don't want to be captured anymore. You know what? I'm going to be uncaptured this morning. All you got to do is make a decision. I'm tired of being captive. Because it says you're captive at his will. All you've got to do is wheel yourself down this aisle this morning. And just decide, I don't want to be captured anymore. I don't want to be imprisoned anymore. By the way, that's what that word capture means. That word capture means to be seized or taken by surprise. I don't know of anybody that's ever fought in any war that just went out and said, boy, I'm going to tell his buddies, I think I'm going to go out and try to be captured today. I don't think so. You know how they got captured? By surprise. They were tricked. Maybe they were deceived. Maybe whatever it may be, but they came into something and they were tricked into it. They were captured by surprise. I'm just here to tell you, you know what the devil's after today? He's after to capture two things. Number one, believer, he wants your testimony. He wants it bad. Because if he can cause you to fall on your job or fall in your family or fall to people that are already on the fence, he can cause you and those others to get out of the will of God and maybe even some of them to go off into eternity without God. He's after your testimony. Let me tell you something. He got a hold of David's testimony. He got a hold of John Mark's testimony. He got a hold of Peter's testimony. Hey, he shredded Samson's testimony. You think he's going to leave you and I alone? Don't think so. Did I say he's very good at what he does? And we're very bad at what we do. If you're here today and you're without the Lord, can I say to you, he wants to keep your soul captured. He doesn't want you to respond to any invitation or any appeal to be saved. You say, well, preacher, what if I've got time? You don't know you've got time. You see, the thing about it is, if he was able to get in and keep someone captured that walked with Jesus for over 3 years, he kept Judas Iscariot's soul captured the entire time. And even kissed God on the face. And we think we can escape that? I don't think so. I'm here to tell you this morning that the carousel, the merry-go-round, is spinning. And people are getting on it, Christian and non-Christian. How does it get you on? Through devices, through snares, through the wiles, through subtlety, through trickery. And the first step is he blinds you to the truth, to the will of God, and to your eternal destiny. Then he confuses us. Confuses us with Bibles. Then he tries to confuse us with different churches. Then he confuses the way of salvation. You say, man, Brother Todd, it sounds like our whole world's confused. Yeah, you're right. Because it's the God of this world that's doing it. And then I'm here to tell you today, he blinds, he confuses, and then he captures. Some of you this morning, Christian and non, are right on the brink of being captured. I don't want that to happen. I want you to leave today. If you're here without the Lord, you have an opportunity to decide, a free will choice to decide, you know what? I am not going to be a POW anymore. I'm walking out. And listen, the devil's going to say, you can't walk out. Well, Jesus said I can. And I'm walking out. And all you do, listen now, all you got to do is turn your back on that and come here and come to Christ. And decide, you know what? I've been blinded too long. I've been confused too long. I've been captured too long. Today, I'm breaking out. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every